But, you know, looking around and going through and getting photographs with different people. We got a photograph with the Queen. We got photographs with Beatles. We got photographs with Star Wars characters. And we destroyed Darth Vader, by the way. Just so you know, it was nothing to do with Luke Skywalker. We destroyed Darth Vader. With the force that we contain within us. But it was so interesting going around and, you know, so many other people were in there and we had a great time and loads of photographs. But one of the things that I just understand that is that what people out in the world want is a reality, not a statue. People out there want a group of people who are in love with Jesus Christ, know that he is first in their lives, and they've sowed their lives giving him absolutely everything, but also having an understanding that there's such a depth of reality within each one of our relationships. So that actually the world takes note and they don't see, oh, that's the church and it's dead and lifeless. It's like an image of something that, oh, that's the church. But actually what we want to see is something that is so alive, yeah, so full of reality of God, that actually anybody who comes into your environment, your area of influence, God can actually do amazing things through that.
Yeah.
Millie, you shared with something with me this morning about your, at the beginning of each year, you put some targets. Can you just come and share those things? Because I think it's a great thing. Have you got a mic? Just those points that you mentioned, yeah, about your targets, please.
Yeah. So in my journal for every year, at the very first page, before I even start the journal, I pray about the one thing that I'm going to believe God to do in this year. And it has to be something scary, because if it's comfortable, I know I can do it on my own. So it has to be a little bit scary and risky. And so I put it up there in the very top that I'm going to believe for God to give me that. Like one of the years, I prayed that God would give me out of debt. And I was like, because I was sick before I was healed, I got into debt to provide for myself. And it took me 2 years, but God then gave me an inheritance through my dad. So now I'm debt free. So God delivered that a year, like 2 years later, but still. So I've seen these come to fruition. And then I have like just one, like things that I like, other than like, what is God going to do for my life? Then how, what is God going to provide for me? Like a point where that's very different from year to year. Like 1 year it can be, I just pray that I get a job. And other years it can be, I would like him to set me up for something. And then the last point is a very specific, you know, like you're going to bring one person to Christ and then you're going to believe for that one person. So then there's just one name, because we can always be a light to all of our friends all the time, but we need to focus and target our efforts into someone and really invest and sow into one life. So, and I've seen them come to Christ. So I mean, like, and God is really faithful. And then I use the principle that when Urquhart was here, like at the very beginning of the year, I prayed for them. And so I don't need to pray for them and dig them up anymore and pray for them. I just water it with thanksgiving because I've already received it in faith. These things are mine. These things are mine. I'm taking them. So I'm just every day watering the seed with thanksgiving, because I'm going to receive it this year. So it's a shopping list, just so you know. Yeah, so that's what I do. So.
Great, thank you. Why I asked you, Millie, to share is that I want people to see the reality of God. And I want you to see the reality of God by seeing some of your prayers, or your prayers answered, not some, but We want to see all of our prayers answered. And, you know, when we are close to the Lord, then he can reveal to us what he wants us to pray. And yes, it may take 25 years. But, you know, with Abraham, when he was promised the, you know, he was going to be a father of many nations, he did try and help the matter along. And we're still getting the consequences today of that effort by Abraham. But, you know, what God wants is for us to come into alignment with his plan and purpose, to believe what he says, and then to actually accept what he says. Yes, that's mine. We were speaking to another couple of pastors from America, but they've been in this country for quite some time. And she was saying something very similar to Millie, that God has given them promises concerning their church in the Esher area of London. And she was saying that this year, more than any other year, she said Dan, her husband, was there already, but she wasn't quite there. But this year, she heard something from God, and she said, now I know it's mine. Yeah. Now she's watering it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she got to that point where she knows that that's mine. And she said that that doesn't mean that I then are passive in seeing the fruition of that. But in the thanksgiving, she was saying that there's going to be actions. She described it in Abraham and Sarah terms, that they had to continue to have sex to see the fulfillment of the promise. And, you know, sometimes we've got to understand that we've got to water the seed. And we can't allow that, whatever that looks like, to dry out, so that the seed actually, because of the lack of water and the lack of thanksgiving, the lack of continuing to lift up the name of Jesus over a situation or circumstance. But again, it's a little thing about the reality. You know, we have this statement, and I'm going to read it again. It says, Jesus sees his church as a people in living personal relationship with him. I just want to, you know, again, I've done this, I've said this, and I've read this out several times, certainly in the autumn. But I just think it's, again, so important that we all continue to hear what I believe God is, or what we believe God is saying for our church here. And my heart's desire is that all of us are living in a real personal relationship with him, where every single day we're getting fresh revelation, we're getting fresh manna. The children of Israel, every day apart from the day before Sabbath, went and collected the manna, and God gave them precise instructions what they were to do, not to get too much. And when people did try and do and take too much, guess what happened? It was moldy. You know, oh, I'm going to store up for myself. And what happened when people stored up? It got moldy, and therefore what was going to be a blessing to them turned out to be something that was actually a redundant. It was not going to be useful as they move forward. And likewise, on the day before Sabbath, God gave clear instructions about going out and collecting double portion, so that they didn't actually have to go and work on the Sabbath. And, you know, I'm not here to say we've got to start saying, okay, the Sabbath, and I do believe in the day of rest, by the way. But I believe that that is something where we need to work that through with God ourselves. You know, the Seventh-day Adventists believe Saturday, and so therefore they have church on Saturday. They don't work on Saturday. Traditionally, it's been a Sunday here. Still in Israel today, from Friday when the sun goes down to Saturday when the sun goes down, that's their day of rest. And, you know, even the Jewish people sometimes... we've been in Jerusalem and other parts of Israel, and they have lifts that they don't have to press a button. It literally stops at each floor, because some of the traditional Jewish people are saying, I can't work. They let everybody else work around them, but they do not work. And so therefore the lift opens, they don't have to press a button, it goes to the next floor. The TVs come on automatically. They have a light switch in their room saying Sabbath switch. And so therefore, just before Sabbath, they put the Sabbath switch on so they don't actually have to turn lights on and off. They come on automatically. You know, they get their meals given to them. And sometimes these meals are given to them by other Jewish people, but they get around it somehow. And the priest comes and prays a blessing upon the people serving, and they get away with it. But, you know, at the end of the day, they are living still by a set of rules and regulations. And I don't believe that God wants us to come and submit ourselves wrongly to a set of regulations anymore. And, you know, when Jesus was around, he was always coming. And those who have read Matthew chapter 15 this morning, which is our scripture for today, one of the things that comes out in that passage, that Jesus came and said the tradition of the elders is something that he came to destroy. Because he was saying that the tradition of the elders was hypocrisy. They were saying that there were certain things that as a tradition we do not do, but in other things that they were just completely denying what God had said through some of the other scriptures. In particular, in Matthew 15, it was all to do with the family and to honour the father and mother. And in that situation, you know, they were dishonouring their parents by saying, oh, no, we are being traditional within our law, but then null and void of this other actual commandment that God has given us. And Jesus wants us to ensure that we're not living by something that is just rule one, rule two, rule three. Thou shalt be here by 10 o'clock. Thou shalt not be here by 1 minute past 10. Thou shalt, you know, have the time with the Lord on 29 minutes and 30 seconds. You should have it at 6 o'clock in the morning and you can finish at 6:29:30 each morning. We're not going to live by a set of rules and regulations. But we are saying, okay, we guys, we want you up at 4:30 to be praying for 2 hours each morning. No. But what I'm saying is that when we have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that is going to enlighten. He's the one that's going to open the word to us. So that actually when we are moving forward and advancing in the way that God wants us to advance, then we will know, yes, that's what the Lord says. That's what he means by a Sabbath rest. And please, I believe that God has given us 6 days and 1 day for resting. And, you know, sometimes people have to work 3-4 weeks on the row. But I believe physically God is wanting and I believe that medically speaking, I think the body needs rest so that it can recuperate. You know, I know that sometimes when, you know, I've been flat out, then there's times where because you're so tired, sometimes your resistance can wane a little bit. And, you know, there's a sickness bug and then that can come in. You know, there's just a little bit of negativity can come in when, you know, suddenly you're arguing. There's a bit of tension between husband and wife or friends, you know, that you have. And, you know, you're a bit snappy. And, you know, that can happen when you're tired. And, you know, God wants you to have rest. And, yes, you can be resting in a busy period and resting can, you know, for some people means, you know, you go on a 26-mile run. Because for some people, that is a rest. For others, but for some others, the rest is punishment, watching Man United, you know? And then people see that as resting. So, I'm going to, yes, just in case we win by a large majority, and pride might get in the way. and then I will have to humble myself before these men. But no, God wants us to be in relationship with him. And then he wants us to be in relationship with one another. That is genuine. That it's not just suddenly, you know, like we were in Madame Tussauds, where, you know, we had our an official photograph with the Queen, and I was by, who was I by?
Camilla.
Smile, sweetly. I was by Camilla. Amy was by Prince Charles. And
Mary was arm in arm with Harry.
Now, if that photograph was taken and you put that on Facebook, just Mary and Harry, that's an image, but it's not reality. I want our relationships to be real. Yeah. Not something where, you know, do you want to come quickly? Where, you know, like this with everybody, but I couldn't care two hoots about him. But it's...
It's fine.
But, you know...
He's a Manny supporter, that's why. So.
This is it, you know. Yeah. That's why I brought him up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want this to be real. I want this to be genuine. Yes, I'm a pastor, but I want that and this to be real and not just an arm and shoulder there, pop it. You know, I don't want it to be, you know, something that's not genuine. And that image of, you know, Mary with her arm in Prince Harry, I want you to understand that's not reality, but it could look real. The photograph with us, you know, in with this royal family, you know, people having a quick look, oh, they're with royalty. But they're not. It's a fake. And I won't want us, any one of us, whatever church you're part of, I don't want any one of us to have a fake relationship with one another. I want us to be real. That means we deal with some issues that come up. If, you know, even with friends, people that we love. Now, I love you all, but I have a different relationship with Helena than I do with anybody else. And you'd expect that. And she's going to see a different Jonathan than any one of you else sees, but that doesn't mean that you don't see the real me. And I want you to see the real me. I want you to see the real Helena. I want you to understand that whatever situation you find with me or with Helena, you know what you're going to get because of what we say and how we act is exactly the same. And I want us to be a people here that are doing exactly the same. Where everyone who comes into our company, whether it's in a prayer meeting, whether we're away at an event somewhere that we find out, you know, different things. Helena and I are going to an event tomorrow morning at the O2. And it's just learning and hearing a little bit about all the missional aspects of what's going on in London in 2017. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to be involved in every single one of them. Because ultimately, if we do that, then we might lose the focus that God wants us to have for us in 2017. But we do want to be in a place where we can hear what God is saying because we're knowledgeable. And then we can say, okay, God, here's the list. What are you wanting us to be involved in? What is going to be good use of not just our time, but our time? What are we going to invest our time as we continue to sow our lives into this? And yes, I believe what Millie said about praying for the one who's in your world that you say, God, thank you for that soul. I know that I'm going to see that person receive Jesus Christ or a miracle in his life or her life. But there's also other things that God wants us to do corporately And for me, what God is saying is that, you know, he doesn't want us to see it like in the clouds, that it's in a model form. He wants us to see it as real. And Madame Two Swords just gave me this whole understanding of what a reality, unreal. But some of it looks so real. It was deception. There was this thing that, just moving very quickly. Sorry, this is my journal that I keep with me all the time. Just in case God speaks to me, so I don't miss out on what he says. But it says, Satan can't destroy the gospel. We all agree with that, don't we? The gospel, Jesus Christ and him crucified, that's it. He's defeated the enemy. But he, that is Satan, only lies about it by adding, subtracting and substituting. Now, we've got to be in a position where individually we're not allowing anything to come, where we're adding to the word of God, we're subtracting from it, or substituting something from the word because we actually don't like what that means for us. And therefore, because I don't like that as much, I'm going to substitute it with something a little bit less offensive to me. But you see, this is where I believe that the reality of our relationships, I believe God wants us to have such a real relationship that when we are in situations where we are hearing God, we have a friendship network. We have relationships around us that we can say, look, this is what I heard from the Lord. What do you think? And not get offended if they don't agree with you. And I'm talking about us too as well, because sometimes I can get a little bit annoyed when my wife doesn't agree with absolutely everything I say. I know I'm right, but she doesn't always agree and doesn't understand that I'm right. And so we have a little bit of a tension sometimes until she comes into the way I think. Or more like it, I come in the way that she thinks. But you understand that this is real, not fake, that we were seeing round Madame Two Swords. I had a photograph with Bolt, Usain Bolt. But it was not real. And that's what my daughters did. They laughed at my effort. It was so funny. But again, it's something that, you know, oh, he was with Usain Bolt. Yes, I was, but it was an image of. But the reality that God wants us to have is real. Why? Because he wants us to fulfill his purpose for 2017. Not my purpose, not Helena's purpose, not Mikey's purpose, Nathan's purpose, Ruth's purpose, Sue's purpose, not your purposes, but God's purpose. But you see, if we have a relationship with him, then he wants to show us what his purpose is. He doesn't want to keep us in the dark. Now, there may be lessons that he wants to teach us en route that we just have to learn before we get to the destination. But he doesn't want to keep us in the dark. He's the God of light. Guess who's darkness? Well, whenever you speak about darkness in the scriptures, what does that represent? It's evil. God is light. And when God is around, he wants to bring light into your journey and our journey. Why? Because it's real. When there's light, you actually, you know, when you see the light on some of these dummies in Madame Two Swords, you actually can see, oh, wow. Oh, it's pale. There was one of Boris Johnson and his hair was too neat. And we sort of said, that's wrong. Because it was just so tidy. But, you know, when you go around these things, it's just like, Lord, I want the reality of a relationship with you where you are bringing light and truth into a situation. But also, Father, that our relationships are worked out in a genuine way. Not just saying, you know, all sweetness and light and we're all perfect and, oh, isn't it nice and lovely? But we all are going to go through situations and circumstances where we sort of say, look, guys, can you just pray? You don't have to sometimes even go into detail. But just sort of like, look, guys, just pray. And that's why the blue cards are there. You notice that we very, very rarely say the names that are on the blue cards. Why? Because we understand that sometimes it's just a personal thing, but you want something corporately deprayed. Other times it is, look, you know, just touch on the shoulder, come to anybody at the end with a badge on, which is most of you. Seriously, that doesn't matter. You can go to whoever. Because, look, can we agree together, please? Sometimes you have to do that with your wife or your best friend. Why? Because something's happened where it's like, that's a bit tension. Okay, let's get back together. I mean, I actually said sorry to Helena outside today because there was a little bit of tension. It's my fault, not hers. She's perfect. Practically perfect in every way. Apart from, no. But, you know, it was just like, look, you know, we've got to get this right. But there's, why? Because God wants to fulfill his purpose for each and every one of you in whatever environment God places you. Every believer is to be fruitful in fulfilling his or her purpose. And by so doing, we'll bring glory to the Father. That's a statement I believe God has just reminded us of again and again and again. God wants you to be fruitful. But when God wants you to be fruitful, you need to be sowing the right seeds. If I want an apple, I don't sow an orange seed. Simple truths. But if I want to see faith increase in my life, then I've got to sow into that area so that faith is then produced. If I want to pray a little bit more than I'm currently doing because I feel, I need to pray a little bit more, guess what you've got to sow? Time to pray. Or if you're praying a lot but don't feel that you're getting anywhere, you need to say, okay, God, is there a way or a different way you want me to pray for a bit period of time so that I'm sowing into a different scenario or a field or because I want to be able to pray more. I want to see the answers to God more. Finances. It may be that for some, finances is a real issue. Like Millie was very open and honest about 2 years ago. That was what she was praying. But you see, she sowed in a particular way. She heard something from the Lord and she said, this is not right. I want to see this gone. And so therefore, she heard something from the Lord. She spoke it out and then for a 2-year period began to thank God for that. Something happened similar in Helena and my life. Where out of presumption rather than faith, we got ourselves into a financial mess. And it was only when we got right and we started to sow things into the seed, into the right field, then miracle out of two people gave us two checks that completely wiped out the check, the debt. And then a couple of months later, somebody then gave me £76,000 to clear my mortgage. Wow. And that's going back a few years now. Why? Because we started to sow in the right field, not the wrong one. Why? Because I believe God wants every single one of us to be fruitful in this coming year. But we need to be in a place where we can hear God, okay, what seeds are you wanting me to sow? Because it's like, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I want to be a millionaire. But is that what God has told you? Now, please, I've said this to some of the students in the past, and John might remember this. And Sophie. Sophia, sorry. When I believe that one of the greatest privileges God, or greatest, not privilege, a greatest challenge is that when you are wealthy. If each one of you had £1 million in your bank, then I believe the responsibility that God is giving to you is immense. We had a wealthy gentleman at the Horsham Church. And he often said that he had so many people coming up to him, shaking his hand. And, you know, he was a pastor and he sort of said, you know, how are you doing? Oh, going well, Pastor. But my washing machine's broken and I don't know how I'm going to get it repaired. And he said there has been so many different conversations like that over weeks, not years, weeks. Wow. And he said, I could write a check and I could supply for every single one of those needs. But he said, I've got to listen to God too, because it may not be the right thing for them because their faith was in man, not in God. Yeah. And therefore, to give them a lesson. And sometimes he sort of said, yeah, in mercy, God really sort of, I wasn't going to. And then God gave, told me to give £100 to them. Other times he gave £10,000 to people. I know he was a very generous man. He was. He was a very generous man. But because he had wealth, he always said this. He said, it's a great responsibility to do what God wants you to do. Because lots of people who know he was wealthy, you know, oh, he's mean. Why? Because he didn't give me 150 quid for a new washing machine. Or that MOT, my car failed an MOT and it was going to be £120 to great repair. And he didn't give it to me. He's mean. Actually, where was their faith? What were they sowing in? They were sowing into man, not to God. And so therefore, God may have said certain things. And that's why if you are a millionaire, you don't have to tell me, but I will pray that God will give you that responsibility, because it's awesome. I believe that. I'd love £1 million. Please, we don't have it. But you understand, it is such a responsibility, because if God suddenly said, okay, I want you everything. Remember the rich Jesus and the rich fool? He said, you know, I've fulfilled everything in the law. And Jesus did not say, no, you haven't. He didn't. He didn't say, no, you haven't. He said, well, that's great. Go and sell everything that you have and then follow me. And because the man was very rich, he walked away in a very down, sad way. Now, we don't know what happened to that man. It doesn't say that he sold everything. We hear other stories in the gospel about everybody selling absolutely everything because they saw a treasure that they wanted. And I believe that we have the greatest treasure, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's why I believe that we need to sow our lives. Whether, you know, you're part of this church or you're part of the kingdom, which is where I'm coming from. I am. I'm here for God's kingdom, not kingdom faith. But God's placed me within kingdom faith at this season in time. And maybe for the next 30, 40, 50 years until I'm 110. And still going strong. But you understand that this statement, I don't want us to lose sight of this relationship with Jesus, this relationship with one another, where God has a destiny and a plan for each and every one of you. And he wants that and you to be fruitful and successful, because you're walking in the light And therefore, every right commodity for growth is going to happen. But again, I believe God is saying, make sure you're sowing in the right way, in the right field. And if you're unsure, then take a step back and say, okay, God, speak to me. And what Millie was bringing. Okay, Lord, who do I bring to you? Is there a key thing this year that you're wanting to do in my own heart and life? And I like the way that she put it. It was that I've done always things that are impossible for me. I like that. Because sometimes we can put the bar so low that we can actually step over it. And it actually doesn't take too much effort. Whereas, you know, when you hear from God that it is going to be a faith step. Abraham and Sarai could not have children. And when the promise of you're going to be a father for many nations, it's just like, goodness me, I'm 75 years old. And there's nobody 75 here. But if God suddenly spoke to some of you who are 75 years old and sort of say, I'm going to give you another child. It's like, you know, you can imagine Sarai's response of laughing and, you know. It's these things. But I want reality. Could we stand, please? It may be that you have a journal or a pen and a paper. And if God has already given you the name that you are to lift up before the Lord, then make sure you've written that down somewhere. Not because, like Millie said, that you're going to constantly ask God to save that person, but you can do that once. You pray. And then you believe. Now, God may choose to ask you to pray in different ways. And I always remember that there is the time where Jesus prayed for the blind man. And what do you see? I see just figures like trees. And so therefore, Jesus then prayed again. But he prayed probably in two different ways. If you look at what is said. And therefore, it's important that sometimes, you know, God may lead you step by step where your faith is then activated rather than something like, okay, you know, you can see maybe that you have a family that's unsaved and God may sort of say, don't pray for the whole family, just pray for one person out of your family. And then from that point, then you can pray for the whole family. So it may be two or three different steps that God asks you to sow into so that the fruit and the result is for your whole family to be saved. So it's getting God's strategy in your prayer. But if you have a name, Lord, I'm going to commit myself to thank you for his, her salvation. That there's going to be a change in that situation or that circumstance. We're going to see a breakthrough in this situation. And that may be something that you do individually, but there may be something also corporately that God is wanting to do. So that's important. If you feel also, if there is a situation where Lord, I've sown into this situation for several years and nothing seems to change. Just talk to him and sort of say, Lord, I'm just going to give you the time and the space to speak to me. We've got one more week to go with giving God time within this prayer and fasting period. And it's just, okay, God, I'm going to, in this coming week, I'm just going to step back and I'm just going to ask you to speak about all of these things that I've been praying for. And Lord, I want to make sure that what I'm praying is in alignment with your word. And if I've been praying and sowing something that is actually not right for now, and I need to sow something else, then Father, Lord, show me. Make it clear. Father, Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to speak to each one of us. So that each and every one of us understands the purpose that you have. In our relationship with you, with our relationship with one another. That men will sit up and take note. Those guys have been with Jesus and they're different. Yeah, and that's not to say that we've got suddenly got spiritual language or anything like that. We just got to be real. And be open for God to do whatever he wants. And finally, I just want to say, Father, I thank you that your gospel, the enemy cannot destroy. The fact that Jesus Christ lives in me, the enemy cannot destroy. And Father, I just ask you that you will come against the lies that have been spoken by trying to add to something that you have spoken, subtracting from it, or substituting something. Father, we just ask you that we will, oh Lord, be open and understand the enemy's tactics at times. And that we will discern what is of you and what is of the lies of the enemy. So, Father, I just thank you that for each and every one of us, Father, Lord, that we will be people who understand who we are in Christ. And that we will be people who always put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against everything that the enemy wants to throw at us individually, but also us as a church. We want to stand our ground in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's take a seat, everybody. Amen. He really was convinced that Johnny Depp was real. I have to say it. Yeah, it was incredibly. Okay, great. I just want to encourage you all in this. We're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting individually. Speaking with different ones of you, and I know what we've experienced, there is a real sense of breaking through, of coming against things, or of things coming against us in that sense, because we're taking new ground and we're creating more space for God. And I want to encourage every one of you, get into the Word this week. Remember your where, your why, and your what, all of that. Just where's your war room? Get in that place this week. Let's make this last week, because the fast finishes next Sunday. Let's make this the best one. Okay, it feels like there's been quite a lot of challenge. That's what we've experienced, where we feel like if we had to describe it, we've been on the mountaintop one minute and then in the valley the next. And this last week, we're going on the mountaintop. And, you know, when we made those decrees all around the North-South Circular, and outside Westminster, we spoke some pretty big things that we believe are from God. And the enemy doesn't just sit back and say, oh, that's nice, I'll just let them get on with it. No, he resists what God wants to do. And that's why there's that tension. So if you're feeling a little bit more of that, that's why. But we're contending in the spirit. So let's make this week a really great one. Let's give ourselves... it's a bit like in a marathon, isn't it? That final bit, you can see the finishing line. We're going to go for it, and with great rejoicing. Amen.